well-known theologian by the name of A.W. Tozer has said that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind when you think about God? Scripture is certainly laden with descriptions of God, who God is and what he's like. What we want to think about for a few minutes here this morning as we come to the table is the faithfulness of God. By that we mean that everything that God has promised will come to pass. His faithfulness guarantees that fact. God does not lie. What he has said about himself in the Bible will stand, will happen, will come true. The faithfulness of God refers to his utter dependability. We can hardly comprehend this because we're just not all that dependable. We tell somebody we're going to be somewhere at 10 o'clock, and there's a pretty good chance we'll be there, but once in a while we're late. Some people are late all the time, but once in a while we're late. Faithfulness refers to God's loyalty, his allegiance, his trustworthiness. God is honest all the time, sincere, good. He has perfect integrity, perfect morality, perfect uprightness. All this has to do with his faithfulness. He will be the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and however many tomorrows there are or will be. God's faithfulness refers to his firmness, to his stability, to his truth, to his reliability. And I mean, we just don't measure up when we think of all these things. So for just a few minutes, I'd like you to just relax, but not too relaxed. I don't want to make this into a Bible drill, but I just want to share some verses. If you care to jot down the references, they should pop up on the screen there. But just a very brief survey of God's faithfulness in the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, as God gives instruction to his people as they enter the promised land, he says to them in Deuteronomy 7:9, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations for those who love him and keep his commands." He is the faithful God. Later on in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it says, "Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain, and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he." Who is the most excellent, perfect person that you know, other than yourself? You know, no comparison, right? No comparison. Whoever we might think of or name, whether it be a Billy Graham or John MacArthur or R.C. Sproul or who, or all of the other good people, and no one compares to God. Later on in Psalm 33, it says, "Sing joyfully to the Lord, your righteousness. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. And Psalm 36, your love, O Lord, reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies. You know, our ability to always do right and be completely dependable, you know, probably gets just a little past the ceiling. But God is completely faithful. Psalm 86. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Abounding in faithfulness. The verse that we chose a month ago when we had our celebration of God's faithfulness to our church for these past 90 years, Psalm 100 and verse 5. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I mean, we do our best and we can think back 2, 3, 4 generations. If we go to the cemetery, maybe 5 or 6 generations. If we do genealogy, maybe 12 or 20 generations. God's faithfulness endures to all generations. Psalm 117, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Forever. And Psalm 119, verse 90, your faithfulness continues through all generations again. In Isaiah, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. You know, what marvelous things has God done for you? We could make a lengthy list, but this verse says that his faithfulness is perfect, completely dependable, trustworthy, and upright. And then the verse from which the great familiar hymn was written, Lamentations chapter 3, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We couldn't wear that hymn out if we sang it every week. Great is thy faithfulness, because it's perfect all the time. So just a few points here, four little points about God's faithfulness in the Old Testament, and then a couple of points about God's faithfulness in the New Testament. You know, God's faithfulness in the Old Testament is seen in his creation and in providence. The one who created everything and the one who keeps it all going is completely faithful, dependable, and trustworthy. God has made the world and all that's in it. He orders it and keeps everything going, and he has for a long time. God doesn't take a vacation. God doesn't need a vacation. We do. All is under God's control and can be relied upon. This produces in the believing observer a response of praise in might and majesty. When we, whether we're in a crowd or whether we're by ourselves and we just contemplate what God has done in his creation, it should just bring us to our knees, whether we're driving a car or on a boat or wherever, but in a sense it would bring us to our knees to contemplate God, his faithfulness and his creation and his providence. Secondly, not only in his creation and providence, but God demonstrates his faithfulness in his redemption. The whole sweep of God's redemption in the Old Testament, from the call of Abraham to the deliverance of his people into the promised land, was evidence of God's faithfulness. We had a chance to share the gospel with someone this week while we were in the EE clinic and out visiting. And this person claimed to be an atheist and well-versed and well-read and just able to discuss things intelligently, and had a real problem with the fact that if Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, then all of those people who lived and died before Jesus was born are lost forever. They never had a chance. What this person didn't understand was that God's redemption knows no time. That the Redeemer was promised from of old. That those who, by faith, look forward to the coming of the Messiah were no different from us as we look back in faith to the coming of the Messiah. God's redemption, his redemption story demonstrates his faithfulness. And then God's faithfulness is seen in his promises and their fulfillment. In the Old Testament, God is not represented simply as doing things in history. He's seen as making statements and promises and covenants. He's seen fulfilling those statements and promises and covenants. Again, from the call of Abraham and onward, the unlikely, humanly unfulfillable, impossible promises of God to Abraham of a land and descendants were surely filled against all odds, as it were. The greatness of Abraham was found in the fact that he believed God, the faithful God, and faith was credited to him as righteousness. Faith in the God of the impossible brought Abraham into a new relationship with him in the very same way that it brought you and me into a relationship with him, because he is faithful. God's promises were not made only to Abraham, but to many others, including David and the prophets. Perhaps the strongest demonstration of God's faithfulness is seen as his covenant relationship with his people. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. A covenant is so much more than a contract between two parties where all the details have been worked out and for the greatest possible advantage of two business partners. God makes a promise and he keeps it. He says, I will be your God and you will be my people. We wander, we fail, we're unfaithful. God is faithful. And then fourthly, in the Old Testament, God's faithfulness is seen in his personal relationship to his people. What other faith, what other attempt at faith, whatever false religion promotes a personal relationship with the one who created us? None. God demonstrated his faithfulness in a personal relationship with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses and David and Elijah and all the others. God was always faithful to his character and to his word. And then as we move into the New Testament, as the Gospels proclaim the arrival of the Messiah, they proclaim God's faithfulness in keeping his promises. So God's faithfulness is seen in his fulfillment of the promises of the past. God is true to his character. He'll not fail to act because of who he is. God is true to his word. 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll not fail to do what he promises to do. The fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies in the New Testament demonstrate God's faithfulness. The providence of God in guiding the birth and growth of the church is a demonstration of the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God is a solid foundation upon which all of Paul's writings stand. In Romans chapter 3, Paul asks a powerful question that underscores the faithfulness of God. Paul says, what in Romans 3:1, what advantage then is there in being a Jew? Or what value is there in circumcision? Much in every way. First of all, they have been entrusted, the Jews, with the very words of God, the oracles of God. What if some did not have faith? Will their faith or their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? Not at all, he says. Let God be true and every man a liar. If every last human being is unfaithful, God is still faithful. Then not only is God's faithfulness demonstrated in the New Testament through his fulfillment of the promises of the past, but his faithfulness is demonstrated in the promises of the future that have yet to be fulfilled. And there are many of those. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you is faithful, and he will do it. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Hebrews chapter 10, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He will do it. God is a faithful God. He will act according to his character. He will act according to his word. God's faithfulness is seen in preserving his people, in disciplining his people, in bringing his people to glory. God's faithfulness is especially expressed in temporal blessings. We have food, we have clothes, we have shelter, and much, much more. It's also expressed in his spiritual blessings. We have a church family. We're part of the body of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the Word. We have the one another's. God's faithfulness. It's also specifically expressed in support during trials and tribulations. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation, meaning trouble, trial, trauma, or difficulty or temptation, seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted, trusted, tried, and traumatized beyond what you're able to bear. But along with the temptation, he'll provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is faithful. His faithfulness is specifically expressed in his sanctifying discipline. We don't welcome that one. But if we went to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 8, we would see God disciplines his kids, and he helps us grow up. It's also seen in his direction in difficulties. If we lack faith, ask God. Is anyone in trouble? Let him pray. James chapter 5. It's seen in God's enabling and perseverance. His faithfulness is expressed in fulfilling all his promises. Our own awareness of God's faithfulness will keep us from worry. You know, do you struggle with worrying about what's going to happen this afternoon, what's going to happen tomorrow, what will we wear, what will we eat, whatever? The more that we're aware of his faithfulness, the less we'll worry. What do you worry about? You worry about money? Trust God. What do you worry about? Your next job? Trust God. Awareness of God's faithfulness will also keep us from grumbling or murmuring or complaining. Why should we complain? God is faithful. Why should we murmur about he did this or she did that or he said this? God is faithful. Don't worry about it. Awareness of God's faithfulness keeps us confident in God. Paul says, my God will supply all your needs. Trust God. How has God been faithful to our church? Last month, we celebrated God's faithfulness to our church for these past 90 years. Our church was established in 1917. God's been faithful to this church for 90 years. We chose the verse, Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever, his faithfulness continues through all generations. At that time, we posted in our bulletin a list of all the pastors of Hollis Center Baptist Church over the 90 years. That's a record of God's faithfulness. In our church library, we have 7 volumes of written history of our church, handwritten. All the people, all the dates, all the things they did, how they spent the money. That's a record of God's faithfulness to this church. A month ago, and still available on our website, we showed a collection of photographs. The pictorial history of the Hollis Center Baptist Church, as far back as we could get pictures anyway. That's a record of God's faithfulness to this church. The list of all those believers who have gone on before us. Some of them your parents, your grandparents, great-grandparents. That's a record of God's faithfulness to this church. The fact that you and I are saved is a testimony of God's faithfulness. The long list of ministries that this church has, where people are one to Jesus Christ and people are built up in Jesus Christ, is a record of God's faithfulness. The finances of this church and the management of them is a record of God's faithfulness. Most of you are aware of the building program that's gone on these last few years with new roof and windows and siding and boilers and all of these things. A record of God's faithfulness to this church. The fact that we've held fast to the teaching of his word regarding how to live as Christians is a record of his faithfulness. The fact that new people continue to hear and respond to the gospel message of Jesus Christ is a record of God's faithfulness. What we do here this morning in celebrating the Lord's table, whether it be for the first time, or whether you've been doing it once a month or twice a week or whatever for 50, 60, 70 years, is a record of God's faithfulness. What should it do to us to be reminded about we have a faithful God, a dependable God, a trustworthy God? Well, we mentioned a few things that we could stop worrying and fretting and mumbling and complaining. Not that that's been a big problem, mind you. Well, we would trust him more if we understood it more, wouldn't we? We'd go where he wants us to go. We'd be what he wants us to be. We'd say what he wants us to say. The focus of our lives would be more and more to make God famous. That's what we celebrate here today. That God is faithful. And it should drive us and push us and move us and direct us to be even more faithful than we have been. Let's ask God to help us do that and be that while those who are going to serve will come forward. Father in heaven, how we thank you and praise you for who you are, the faithful God, and that's only one of your characteristics. Thank you for your faithfulness to us individually. Thank you for your faithfulness to our families and to this church. Lord, help us to be more faithful to you. We know that your desire is that we would love you with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our soul, and that we would love other people the way we already love ourselves. Father, help us to be more faithful in this way. As we share in these elements, remembering what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. I pray that you would just move each one of us even a little closer to you or a lot closer to you, and that you would help us to be the faithful people to a faithful God. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.